SiriusXM Sports presents
At the Races with Steve Bick.
Enough! Horse racing, handicapping,
interviews.
This is At the Races with Steve Bick.
A very good Monday, race fans. Sirius 162, XM 207, Sports Zone 999. If you're listening that way, and at our website, stevebick.com, a really good weekend, obviously, and a really interesting scenario that is developing, let's say, toward Travers. It's a long way off. It's now 4 weeks. Todd Pletcher will join us tomorrow after Fierceness. I think I wrote, righted the ship. This is as unusual a horse. And in fact, Rich Migliore at 10. And Andy tomorrow, I think the question of the week, to some degree, is can anybody recall a group of three-year-olds that are, you know, that are talented and that are nice? We haven't necessarily defined, the group in its entirety, but I can't recall so many, what's the right word, quixotic. I think that's fair. There's, you know, one after another between Fierceness, Sierra Leone, Dornick, you know, who arguably are the three, right? Those are your three leading three-year-olds in the division, that have all had these fits and starts to a degree. I mean, it's really unfair. It's unfair to, to critique Sierra Leone, who, you know, doesn't have a misfire, you know, doesn't have an outcome that, you know, is inexplicable or, you know, looks like a blemish, right? He just, you know, he's late arriving with certainly Saturday. You can't say that he you know, caused his own trouble or he got beat on the square. I mean, but the story, and I don't like to focus on, you know, on the horse that didn't win, that's not fair to Fierceness and you know, the team behind him. A huge weekend, I should mention, over and above Fierceness's win. If you did not completely notice the three wins between Friday afternoon and Saturday evening early, that Team Rapoli enjoyed, starting with Pushiness in the Fleet Treat at Del Mar, right? And then came Scalable winning the Monmouth Oaks, which, frankly, to some personal consternation, because I was, yeah, that didn't work for me, but that's all right. It's not about me. Yeah, and then came Fierceness's win, which set off that raucous, 25 Claimer sets off a raucous Rapoli team win. Yeah, they just like to win, and they're good sports when they don't win. Fierceness, this was interesting because my eyes were on him in let's say mid stretch. I watched from the winner's circle, and it sure looked to me like he started to get out. And, you know, that can be a sign of any number of things. Nice job by Johnny Velasquez here. I mean, he and frankly, Johnny needed this win. Feels like Luis Saez, who has been kind of, pardon the expression, blind without a cane, seems like Louis coming out of it. And this was big for Johnny. And then, of course, he turned around and won the nightcap, too, actually. And Saez actually won the race in between. Those two New York bred races on the grass. This is a big confidence boost for Fierceness. If you saw Chad Brown's comments and you heard Chad after the race, he was not, I mean, obviously disappointed. You want to win every opportunity that, you know, you get this close. And the fact is, he may very well end up, you know, winning when it counts the most. Some of you were saying, wasn't the Derby the place that, okay, that's fair. He may win the races. He's going to win. It'll all come together. Chad is tinkering with the bits and with the training methods. They wanted to maybe get a little bit off the rail. The case could be made that the rail was tiring and a little deeper on Saturday. I'll tell you who else would make that case, by the way, is Lee Einsiedler, who got a tremendous performance from the 2-year-old T-Craft, looked like a winner at the eighth pole, and got run down by Chad with that Chancer McPatrick, the first McKinsey winner, I think. And then McKinsey, so I was watching Del Mar. There was a McKinsey, right? The McKinsey, I think another. So there, it seems like, you know, they're, you know, a summertime, you know, with starts and maybe with a little bit more maturity, because they got off to a slow start. But Chancer McPatrick runs down T-Craft, and big figs. I mean, 80, low 80, I think 81 for Chancer McPatrick. But the inside, you could see a couple of things happened there with T-Craft. But that was when Chad mentioned, you know, kind of the deeper, maybe a little slower part of the track down inside, it made me think about what happened in the seventh, again, about 90 minutes earlier. In summary, quickly, overall, as we said going into Thursday, this was about as gorgeous and as idyllic a 96 hours you will ever see in upstate New York. I mean, there was not, there were clouds in the sky and birds in the trees. where does he come up with this? I'm in that kind of mood. It was gorgeous here. I mean, just exquisite. It was warm. It wasn't humid. It was just phenomenal. I can't see how we get four more days in a row like that as beautiful. So it was just a great scene. There's a huge crowd of 30-something thousand, 37,000 at least on Saturday. It's funny. There's been some real weird ebbs and flows on the attendance front. I wasn't there Wednesday, but Dr. Paul Matisse, Paul said he did not remember a day, even closing week post, you know, post Travers. He said he could not remember a day when there were less people there than there were on Wednesday. So I think some of this is, you know, is post Belmont Festival, you know, not hangover, but, you know, associated with, you know, there's only so much money. There's only so many, you know, hotel stays and everything. I mean, I think, you know, people, I won't say that their Saratoga fix, you know, was satiated, but A little bit of that. So it's been kind of weird. But in the meantime, people are betting their lungs. The action has been terrific and challenging. I mean, it's like the opening scene in Indiana Jones. just when you think you've gotten through and you haven't been run down by the giant marble or the poison darts. there's a group of Aborigines or whatever they are at the waiting for you at the end, and Belloc waiting to take your gold skull that you thought you absconded with. I'm telling you, it's so funny because you hit something and you get going in a multi. In fact, I was talking to Pete Rotundo about this on Saturday. You get going on a pick three, a pick four, pick five, and you hit a couple of ones and you get a $20 horse in there and you think, all right, this is it. This is the one. This is this is the gold ring. Next time I come around on the carousel. And just like in the Sting, Man of War threw a kid on his head. that's exactly what happens. You're like, oh, you got to be kidding. Well, and then there's some of the wacky and wild elements that just the fickle finger of the gate. That situation yesterday, that was crazy. That was something. And I know people are, I don't think anybody questioned the way in which it was adjudicated. Regulatory risk busting through the gate before the bell, and actually pretty much wiped out Sweet Mystery. I happen to have used prominently in there, but it was standout sensation who ends up, it's funny. People are like, "Oh, the starter held standout sensation." Yeah, because he saw what was happening. He let him go and let her go. And frankly, to the credit of Jose Ortiz, he the field had left. And Jose just corralled, just kind of held standout sensation outside the gate. And in the meantime, regulatory risk disqualified, for an unfair start. And standout sensation called a non-starter. Doesn't do much for you. If you had standout sensation, you get the post time favorite who was regulatory risk. So you're dazed and confused. People are like, the rule has to change to what? I don't know. I don't know. What do you change the rule to exactly? I don't know. We got to talk through. Anyway, that was one. There's a million ways to lose, as they say. there's a million ways to win too. Actually, it's not limited to the way you get beat. Anyway, really fabulous weekend overall, and I'm focusing on Fierceness and Sierra Leone in the Jim Dandy. However, that was not the least of the interesting results. In fact, when we left you on Friday, how about world records performance in the Amsterdam? What was my opinion of world records performance for you Tom Lasorda fans? World record, superb. Rudy Brissett actually will join us in about 5 or 6 or 7 minutes. Look forward to that. Haven't talked to Rudy in too long. And in fact, Rudy, today, since in one of those great confluences that the game affords us, Rudy is quite prominent today at Ellis. We'll talk. It's another Monday, third Monday of the meet, and we'll talk to Tony Kahlo. We will visit with Tony in the third hour. There are two maiden specials back-to-back. Girls are going a mile. Boys are going three quarters. And Brissett is involved in both, as it happens. So we'll get some insights from Rudy, and we'll see what he thought of Leon Marchand, the French swimmer, Bewi. Actually watched a little some of the highlights. But he's got bread to run in the sixth with Alex Achard. This is an authentic colt that made a start already at the meet, July 4th, in fact. And then in the seventh, comes back. That one's a little bit of a price, 12 to 1. And then Brissett comes back later. I could have sworn he had a one. Yeah, there it is. True Violence, a second-timer that caught mud July 5th. But as it happens, Brissett is really strong with his second timers. So we will check in with Rudy Brissett in just a couple of minutes. I'll give you the whole here. Let me give you a lot of the rundown as we hit some of the, you know, the overarching weekend storylines. Brissett, of course, earlier on the card, or Friday, had sent out world record to a very impressive win, one off by half a dozen, and sets up, you know, an even, I mean, we don't have to worry about how good the Alan Jerkins is going to be, because it's going to be terrific. Jefferson Street, you know, kind of broke all right, and you probably just, you know, wasn't prepared to it was just kind of chasing and just kind of thought that I imagine that at 4-5, Junior Alvarado thought that he was going to get an opportunity to run at world record. That opportunity never came. The Steve Asmussen 2-year-old Express, which had been stoking up the first, 12 days of the meet? Yeah, the Asmussen train is starting to move on down the track. That accelerating was superb. The Kalim Shah Matoli New York bred. That was Friday too, right? Yeah, that was Friday. So we got so much. I reached out for Wesley Ward. I can't confirm Wesley yet, but I expect we will hear from him maybe mid-morning, maybe in the 10:30 to 11 block. Nakatomi, to the chagrin of the Asmussen team, actually, in the Grade 1 AG Alf Vanderbilt. Nakatomi was superb, and for Beat Bick, be interesting. I'm looking forward to seeing the numbers, actually, from Holly and Michelle, because I played Subrogate, who was just not good, and Baby Yoda didn't really run. I mean, it was a bit of a merry-go-round, let's be honest. I'll tell you the horse that I ended up betting was Twisted Ride under Nakatomi Skelly, Baby Yoda, and Subrogate. I just basically played Twisted Ride to finish second behind, just a nothing action bet. $5 exact is with the four logicals, and he could not get past Skelly, which was too bad because he was 35-1, and the you know, it just was something that, you know, one just a way to bet the race just for fun. But we'll hopefully talk to Wesley, because Wesley had a spectacular weekend. In addition to Nakatomi's win, did you happen to catch the filly yesterday, the Flame Away? Dream Away. Woof. Won the Colleen. There were two Colleens, by the way, this weekend. There was the Monmouth Colleen, and there was the Ontario Colleen. It always makes me laugh. Cassie won both those stakes Saturday. He won the Ontario Colleen, and good old Paramount Prince won the Seagram Cup. Bob Tiller yesterday. Tiller won the Pink Lloyd, and if I'm not mistaken, I think Tiller has, I don't know how many Pink Lloyds. Is that the third Pink Lloyd running? I think Pink Lloyd won an edition of his own race, and then I think Tiller has now won the next couple, I think. I have to look that up. But Patches O'Houlihan from Dodgeball fame. And guaranteed there's somebody in the game who has an uncle in Ireland named Patches O'Houlihan. I'm going to go out on a limb. That's Sophia Vivas yesterday in the Pink Lloyd. But Wesley, Nakatomi wins the Vandy. Colleen wins, the Dream Away wins the Colleen. And if you didn't notice in Chicago yesterday, not a great day for Team Ravelli. No balls yesterday. Beaten on the square. Kind of came up a little empty, surprisingly, actually, yesterday. In that allowance. Just didn't really finish. Looked comfortable coming around the turn. Looked like he was poised and loaded, and got beat. And same thing happened in Chicago to stablemate One Timer. So they stayed in Chicago, the team. And I actually had an exchange Saturday afternoon, evening with Ravelli. He thought poised for both of these spots and come away empty. That'll happen. It happens, right? He did win a maiden race right in between. For Carolyn Wilson. He won with a Buquero Willie Bird, a three-year-old. Broke the maiden in between the two stakes yesterday at Hawthorne. Maker beat One Timer with Mischievous Rogue for Paradise Staudeker and JP Racing. But it was Wesley for the Jacksons, a homebred. An Into Mischief filly, Daring Do. Won the Lady Carey Turf Sprint. So Wesley Ward with three wins over the weekend, Saturday and Sunday. So trying to get Wesley. We haven't talked to him in ages. So that'll be good. And what else? What else did I do? Let me, Mig, of course, at 10. Tony Kahlo, I told you. There's the Princess of Sylmar, also known as the Eddie Stanko. I wonder if Eddie's going out to Erie to present the trophy. Eddie, you're a reliable listener. Are you on your way to Erie? Today at Presque Isle, the Princess of Sylmar for the Pennsylvania Breds. And we'll talk to Pimo. We'll look at the 6th and the 7th. There's a nice allowance right before the stake. So we'll look at the double, see if we can't come up with a double. So Ellis and Presque today for some Hour 3 handicapping. Ned Allard. How much have you heard me gushing? It's a gusher about Ned Allard. Listen, Ned Allard, who is on his way to, I don't know, 2,500 wins, 3,000 wins, I don't know. He's been doing it forever. And yesterday in the stakes at Laurel. Outstanding. Just outstanding. Dean Delivers went favored, heavily favored, in the DeFrancis Dash and delivered. And Sunny Breeze in the Concern got the stakes going yesterday at Laurel. Sunny Breeze. I mean, Rodriguez in the irons for both of those wins. And trying to catch up with Ned today, too. All right? Pletcher tomorrow. There was a commitment before the Jim Dandy by McPeak, more or less confirming what everybody thought. They will try Torpedo Anna in the Traverse. But now we're dealing, now you got to be dealing with the decision from Team Rapoli and partially Team Viola with Mindframe, because Todd was very noncommittal yesterday to Dave Groening, first on Saturday, and then he had talked about, you know, they, in fact, Andy, I'm sure Andy will have thoughts tomorrow about it, because Andy, I saw where Andy tweeted that he didn't really buy the time between races shtick, but it's hard to believe, it's really hard to believe that you would win this race and have 4 weeks and not contest the Travers. It certainly doesn't feel like it's in, you know, it's in the Rapoli playbook, put it that way. You would think that it'll be your, it seems like it would be irresistible. I don't know how, if the horse is doing well, how do you not run? I mean, you're going to be, you know, with with Dornick, I mean, you're going to vie for favoritism, and the, you know, and actually the Phillies, the Philly will take money, but I think the Philly goes favored. No way, the Philly goes favored. I can't see that. Interesting. It's an interesting. That might be worth a call to David Aragona. With the projected field. Yeah, that might be the question of the morning, actually, over the next couple of days. I hadn't really thought about it until now. But I just don't see how you would bypass that opportunity. It just does not seem in their makeup to have to have one of the top two choices in the Travers under 3-1, 5-2. 2-1 and not run? I'll be very surprised if that's the case. We'll see. We will see. And Todd, of course, has another 24 hours to think about it until I press him because I'm like Mike Wallace. Brian, do me a favor and let's novelly utilize the phone system. All right, why don't you raise Rudy Brissett, and we'll catch up with Rudy on his very impressive. I know people are saying, well, the track was souped up. And I mean, there was no reeling him in. He did also add blinkers, which is kind of interesting. And, you know, he cut back from 7 to 6.5 here, his last two races, including his maiden breaker at Churchill in May, came at 7, you know, and I tell you, noticing it now as it happens, I thought maybe that Pure Force who's also lightly raised. This was the Brad Cox Judmont Homebred that was 2 for 2. I thought maybe he was the fun price, but it was all Rudy Brissett in the end, and Flavian Pratt, who continues to distinguish himself. Rudy Brissett joins us. Good morning. Congratulations.
Good morning, Steve. How are you doing? Thank you.
Excellent. And, you know, it just occurs to me, I'm looking at your Ellis starters today where you're using Alex Achard. Clearly you like giving instructions in French to these riders.
I actually speak English to them to make sure they learn a better English. We know they can speak French, so no, those guys, they just fit our style of training and what we're looking for on some kind of ride. So, you know, I mean, obviously Alex
from
Kentucky, and
yeah. Well, and Flavian, let's be honest, Flavian fits anything.
Yeah, Flavian, you can, I'm sure he will win a race with a mule. So, you know, he's the best rider in the country to me.
There's a lot of people that have come to that realization, I think, as well. Rudy, talk about the development of this gun runner, bred by Runnymede and partners, and was set out to be a nice horse, a $410,000 weanling, and Sienna Farm and Windstar, and he's really done very little wrong so far.
Yeah, it's a horse can take a little time to come around, but you know we were lucky enough to get him, and pretty classy horse, and over the weeks of breeding him, we can find out we saw he has some talent, and it's been a pretty fun ride so far.
When you say it took a little bit of time, I mean, it's his fourth start, and he didn't debut until April at Keeneland, and you know, ran fine in that debut, came right back, and breaks his maiden in a romp, and he's improved with every start, Rudy.
Yeah, exactly. Well, we, our horses kind of need a race to kind of develop, and that horse was working good enough where we thought he could win first time out. He got a little bit of kickback. He got a little green under Flav, and came running at the end, and then, like you said, he won pretty easy second time out. But his number are progressing race by race. But obviously, Friday was what we were looking for him to do. You know.
Well, the Jerkins, of course, in 4 weeks, 7/8. He's already proven at 7/8, and it doesn't feel like he's a horse that absolutely has to have the lead.
Yeah, no, I mean, I think doesn't have to, but I think we do realize he need to be engaged a little bit. You know, I mean, we were the one hole, and we had the blinkers. Who in the morning is a pretty laid back horse, and the blinkers didn't change much of him in the morning. But I decided to go ahead and you better having them and not using it than not having them at all. So it just kind of got him out there the other day, and put some fast fraction, but that was kind of what we have in mind between the jock and I, and then the horse just really doing that, you know.
Well, 21-2, 44-3, 109-2, and you know he sort of had your hand forced a little bit by drawing the rail.
Yeah, kind of, but you know, I mean, we just. If you look at his past performance, I think we learn a lot when Florent rode him in Churchill. You know, he had the one all two, and Flo kind of, you know, came out there running, and we just thought the horse looks like he was moving and traveling much better when you engage him than try to be too much finesse. Obviously the one all was a little bit the edge scratcher. You know, he ran four times and drew the rail three times. So I was actually for part of the week I was 50-50 ongoing. Elliot was a big help of you know, he put his word in. He told me, he said, if I were you, I will do it. So you know, that was a help for me to make the decision. And then we were able to ship and do it. But yeah, the one hole was a no brainer. We did have to come out there running.
Do you did you bring him home, or is he going to stay here for the Travers?
No, we're bringing him home. You know, it's not a very difficult ship from Kinlan, and we stay. You know, Kentucky Racing is our base, and we support Kentucky Racing first. So obviously, we're not scared of shipping, but at the same time, we have our routine here, and nothing. You know, nothing better than be home and train those good horses at home, and then pick the spot and try to make a ship and win. You know.
Well, you're in a great position. The horse came back, seems to come back nicely, and triple digit buyer that you would think puts him, you know, right up against Bookham Dano and Prince of Monaco and. You know, the leading 3-year-old sprinters that'll point for the Jerkins.
Yeah, well, that's what we hope. So we will see how he train and then, you know, and see what the options are. But I would say maybe the Jerkins would be the one on the top of the list for now.
Outstanding. And interestingly, you know, when you laid out what's gone on with him. And you know, four races, you know, in a fairly brief period, as his career gets started, he is a gun runner, but he's out of an Exceed and Excel mare. Is this a prospect long term that would stretch out a little bit more, Rudy, or do you think he's a middle distance one turner?
Well, that's a good question. You know, sometimes the way he acts, you could think maybe it would be worth it to try to turn at one point. But now the way he's made physically and the way he's been running, obviously, kind of tough to try to reinvent the wheel. You know, when you have something, it's like something feeling you pretty good. Why making a change and try to make them what they don't want to be? You know, that's one of the mistakes I think I made the most, is try to make them what they don't want to be, and so you try to don't do that. So I think so far, you know, he's improving his number, he's run fast one turn. I don't really see the point of until you have option to run some good races and you have option to develop his career, I don't see the point of trying to make him something he's haven't tried or haven't shown us he wants to do. So you know, I think for now we got to keep it simple.
Sounds good, and he looked good, and adds another wrinkle to the evolving and growing Alan Jerkins prospect field. Rudy Brissett joining us off of World Records Effort, and Rudy, I mentioned what's going on today at Ellis. And you're in full flight, obviously, at Ellis Park. And it's a busy week, including later on. And we'll talk about the Kentucky Downs preview races. But I first want you to talk about these two-year-olds, bred to run. They're both second-time starters. You hit at a 30% clip. You said earlier that, you know, you don't have them cranked in their first start. Well, the stats tell the story, because you got a positive ROI second start. Bred to Run is 12-1 in the sixth, going a mile. And then the shorter price of your two starters, of your two maiden starters, True Violence. The Violence colt makes a second start in the seventh.
Yeah, it's, you know, we both 2-year-old we like, but the filly is gonna have to step up. You know, she didn't want any part of the 5.5. We drew the right, we had the blinkers. You know, she could be one of the example when I was trying to tell you, when you try to make them something they don't want to be. She may be a turf, and I'm trying her a second time on the turf, but we will see. You know, hopefully we got a clean break, we can get in position, and with the blinkers and the mile, hopefully she can show us what she has shown in the morning. And then the court is actually a pretty nice horse. We need, you know, we need a race first time out and show some speed out the gate, and got a little bit bump around in a, but you know, he came back and breathed really good, and you know, we got flow, a good draw. So you know, if I would have to pick one of the two, I would say keep your eyes on the colt over the filly.
Well, the morning line reflects that too. 9-2 on True Violence. This one, $175,000 Keeneland Yearling. And there's a variety of partners involved. Ann Harrison listed first. Florent Giroux aboard. And Florent, very, you know, very off, very good start, actually, going into or ending the week here at Ellis. And I'm going to go over these races later with Tony Kahlo. You've also got an allowance starter in the nightcap, Peine Noire.
Yeah, she's actually a scratch.
Okay.
I think they are on the turf, and she was first in the A. So
okay.
You know, she's actually out of the race.
Then let's stay at Ellis for 1 second, and then I'll ask you about some Indy starters that come up tomorrow and Wednesday. But the Kentucky Downs preview races, three of them this weekend, Saturday, and in the Nashville Derby, the three-year-old group. Here's Greenlight that I need to know more about.
Yeah, well, he's pretty nice horse. He's actually a world record partner, so they've been working together. Was very impressive when he broke his maiden, and you know, the first time against winner in a very tough race, he was third. We really, really happy the way he's training, and being a Kentucky bred, and the way our Kentucky racing, and obviously Kentucky Down is it's coming around with you know, first money and great stakes. We thought we will try one more time in the stakes and then see what happened. But he's a pretty nice horse, and we think pretty high of him.
Well, and I'm just pulling up the rest of this field because you're coming out of a good third in the American Derby at Churchill, and had broken the maiden in a romp before that. And that American Derby, First World War of Brendan Walsh and Brilliant Birdie finished ahead, and you set the pace. Did he not really want the lead? Would he be more comfortable with a target than being the target?
No, I mean, I think we, you know, we, if I remember, we drew that we were on the inside. He can the draw. He can the break. Fat footed. He make a weird step out the gate. And but you know, Rossi said he recovered very good. And I mean, he just you know, you cannot take anything away from the gate, even on the grass. And you know, he kind of find himself over there. And the fraction were very decent. Nothing that, you know, it's easy to find an excuse. We're not here to do that. So I think he got a clear trip. He got a little tired at the end. The horse came out the race, you know, with a little bit more experience. And, you know, you just develop a 3 years old who is a big gangly, you know, he's a big gangly horse. And we just felt like he actually came out stronger. And his work has been very, very good. I mean, he's, like I said, he's been working with world record, and they've been clicking along every week together. And we just like what we saw, so that's why we decided to give him another chance in a stakes like that over the allowance the week before.
Well, it's as a standalone, it's $250,000. Nothing wrong with this as a standalone opportunity. And if you were to show up at Kentucky Downs, what's your approach in terms of evaluating horses and their prospects to to get over that course, the up and down portion, the undulation?
Take a coin and flip it in the air, and then just good luck. You pick up the right side. It's very, yeah. I don't know. You gotta get them there and try. If they run good, you're happy because everybody get paid. If they run bad, you throw a line and you come back and you just forgot about it. So very, very difficult to figure out anything there. So some horses like it, some horses don't. But you have to do what makes sense too. So, if you win that race as a preview, you get invited and you get the fee paid and you're running for, I think the race now is what, $3.1 million. So I mean, how you want to, they don't.
How do you say
eggs,
no?
You know.
Yeah.
You know how you want to keep them in the store, you know. So, it is what it is. But obviously, the first step will be Saturday and see how he handles that and if he wants this, you get a free ticket and you give it a try for a big one.
Well, it's 3 point whatever million now. It might be 5 million by the time we get to September.
If they keep announcing every week, we're going to raise the money. We still have 6 weeks away, so we may be 5 million by the time.
Exactly. They just this week announced another set of purse increases. It's nonstop. Rudy Brissett joining us. Before we go, Rudy, you got the next couple of days at Horseshoe, and there's a couple of stakes actually on Wednesday. But you got maidens, No Pardon and Anel tomorrow, both entered in the fifth, and then Off Pitch and Captain Pike in the third and the fourth on Thursday or Wednesday.
Bunch of horses have already run once and need the experience, need the fitness, and if I have to pick one on all of them, I would say we kind of like that little Indiana bred Off Pitch. We all know with a pretty good group of a friend, and we like the way she's coming into that race, and got a little green in a stretch last time, got beat, but second time out, like you said, we usually see more what they made of from us, when they just need that first race.
This is a Motown filly, and as you mentioned, Indiana bred, $30,000 fall yearling from Fasig, October, and it's actually a nice pedigree, Motown out of a commissioner mare.
Yeah, she was a standout. I was actually not going to buy anything, and then kind of went around. I have a short list. A small short list based on Capel pedigree and Capel state bred, and then she was on the top of it, and when I put my eyes on her, I thought she was a standout of the sale for me, and we bought her under September from our farm, and then we pieced her with Capel friend, and then the fun began. So she's a filly we kind of like, and gorgeous physically, and we hope we can have some fun in Indiana with her.
This one bred by the Bears, Dr. Bear and Deanne, and that September Farm. That's your nom de course.
Yes, sir. Yep. We're lucky enough where we ride on in Versailles, and it's close from Kinlan, we close from everywhere, and like we said, we want to support Kentucky Racing as much as we can, and obviously breeding and sell too. So we work close with Kinlan too. So it's a very, very nice part of the country, and me myself being from the country, it's nice to be able to call it home.
And you mentioned Versailles. How many years did it take you when you came to the U.S. Before you accepted that they called it Versailles and not Versailles?
Well, it took me maybe a couple of years. But I guess now I'm living in it, so I better make sure I say it right for everybody, you know. But you know, it's funny how he actually came around pretty quickly, you know.
I couldn't resist. Well, you know, because if you mispronounce it, somebody would say to you, "You must not be from around here."
Well, I guess they can guess that with my accent anyway.
Rudy, it looks like it's going to be a very nice summer, and world records win sets you up for the Jerkins, and looks like there's a bunch of nice maidens that you're bringing out regularly. Always fun to catch up. Well done, and we'll talk soon.
Well, thank you very much for having me, and then it's always fun. So have a good day, and then appreciate it.
See you soon, Rudy Brissett, everybody, and world record, who was really good. If you didn't see the Amsterdam on Friday, it became pretty clear. There's always a point with a win like that where you're watching the horses behind. In this case, Jefferson Street, who was the short priced favorite, and in fact, how short of a price favorite was he? Let's take a look back. He was 4-5, and you could just see Alvarado was asking, and world record was actually, without much encouragement from Pratt, was expanding his lead. So ultimately hit the wire 6 3/4 lengths to the better of Jefferson Street, and it was certainly to the better for the betters. 1460 for world record, and that was as the day went on, because earlier you had had Valenzen Day, Michelle Nevins. In fact, did he get? I'm sure he got claimed. Yeah, Oscar Barrera claimed Valenzen Day. Valenzen Day is what a nice colt this is, and he went into that with two straight wins, and so that's three straight, and see what Barrera does. Sandy Goldfarb had collared him back actually last summer, and then he'd been off for a good 8-9 months. Came back. They got to run him in the waiver claiming race, and they waived because you got the time you're allowed, that was for 40. They had claimed him for 35, and then brought him back for 12-5, where he won, and actually the claim was voided. Ran him right back again a month later, and wins again for 12-5. And that time, that's what's interesting. Nobody touched him for that, and now a third straight win. Valenzen Day, that's his eighth win in 18 starts. He's won for everybody. It's unbelievable. One for Rudy, for Linda Rice, Patty Reynolds, and Oscar had claimed him off of Linda last summer. So went back. This is one of those horses you can always, right? There was how many starts in a row? There was like five starts, I think, in a row when he got claimed. Yeah, 1, 2, 3, 4. Yeah. Cool horse. And then who else? There was the other on Saturday, early in the card, you had another you had a hard hitter that Amundsen as well. And Linda grabbed that one off of Matt Cantamassi. That was his 15th win in 39 career starts. The 8-year-old gelding, he's maintained the same form for like 4 years. Amazing. Yeah, Paul Matisse and I were talking about this kind of horse, and a way for the sport to showcase them. more, you know, so that, that fans latch on. And we were talking about, you know, the league concept and you know, the racing club concept and you know, you know, trying to spread horses around a little bit more. Yeah, so these kinds, this is interesting because, of course, if you were listening to the replay, you heard Hammer talk about the rating system that is going to get a test drive around the game. So we're close enough to the top of the hour that I'm going to wait on Craig DeLazzi is going to join us later as well. The Cougar 2 win, there was no way I was letting that performance go by the wayside without a visit. I said this on Friday, that we would get to Craig on Monday. The Cougar 2, Midnight Mammoth, he pulled a Privman, went to the front, and improved his position. And if you didn't see, if you did not see the post-race interview there, in fact, I'll make the point, there were a couple of very emotional moments in winner's circles over the last few days, and Craig got a little misty, you know, talking about this, you know, grade three win and the clients and you know, how much it meant to him, and then if you were watching on TVG, you heard Todd Shrupp kind of expand on why it was such a an emotional win. And then on Saturday, kind of, I think, took a lot of people, I think, by surprise, the conversation with Kendra Carmouche, with a young woman that painted a picture. And you know, you're kind of watching the Fox show, and it's, you know, it's on, and you know, I was getting ready to come over. This was, you know, fairly early in the afternoon Saturday, and Kendrick got emotional because he talked about some things that are happening, you know, family involving his dad and an illness that. You know, I think had not previously been revealed. So, you know, not that other sports don't produce, you know, emotional moments, and you know, you get major league debuts and so forth, and you know, guys getting called up and girls getting called up and making. You know, and the family story and all this, and a lot of times it's not, you know, it's sweet and emotional. It just always feels that this is slightly different in this game because this is a lifestyle for the jocks and the horsemen, and so you know it. It's not like you're going on a field of play and it's 2.5 hours, you know, and then you shut off. This is all encompassing, and your mental state and you know the travails of life. They can weigh on you, and I think that's what everybody came away from, particularly you know, when. Kendrick's segment. It was something. Let's take Brian, let's take the break here, actually. I want to take a top of the hour break, and we'll come back with Mig. We got Mig, we got Craig DeLazzi, and way more. All right, so ready to step away? Yeah, all right. Hour one, weekend recap. Tons to do. A lot more about, of course, about California. We got the Eddie Reed yesterday, and Johans was just too good. Just too good. Umberto Rispoli for Yakteen and the Kuyathi people. That was a Beat Bick race. And the Chosen Vron we got to talk about. We got to get Eric Kruljack in here. Dr. Venkman. And in fact, Tina and I last night ended up accidentally watching the Ghostbusters, the most recent Ghostbusters thing. It's stupid fun, you know. It's a yeah, that's an indulgence. But the Dr. Venkman, so good. They had a good weekend at Del Mar. All right, back after this. Rich Migliori joins us.
On Sirius XM Radio.
For racing 2-year-olds in California and Kentucky, please consider Bleeder Shield. The leading all-natural paste used to greatly reduce or eliminate EIPH. The list of trainers who trust Bleeder Shield is endless. Shouldn't you join the team? To learn more, contact Joseph Vellante at 215-501-6880.
Created specifically for horse racing. Naira Bets. We specialize in thundering hooves, fist pumping, and boosting your bankroll with robust weekly promotions. And offer betting tips from actual horse racing experts. Bet all day and night, nationwide. Get the action in thrill of horse racing with Naira Bets. $200 deposit match with promo Steve200. Visit NairaBets.com for details.
The Pond Family's Country Life and Maryland Farms are the place for breeding and racing in the Mid-Atlantic. Country Life is nationally recognized for making stallions and curly stands, the Mid-Atlantic's leading first and second crop sires, Divining Rod by Tappan and Mosler by Warfront, as well as Friesian Fire. Maryland's 5/8 mile training track completes the full-service facilities from the folding barn to the racetrack. Join the excitement of racing with Country Life Farm, where our partnerships can take you from beginning to winning.
Want to know a secret? The Massachusetts breeding program pays huge bonuses for finishing first, second, or third at any racetrack in the country. You didn't know that, did you? Massbreds get paid up to an additional 25% of their purse earnings for the owner, and breeder, and stallion owner, and developer. It's the best-kept secret in racing, till now. Tell all your friends, and to learn more, visit massbreds.com.
Whether you're new to the racing game or just looking to enhance your operation, Hermitage Farm and Goshen can help you. We are conveniently located between Churchill Downs and Keeneland Racecourse and near world-renowned equine hospitals. With spacious paddocks, expert staff, and qualified veterinarians, we offer full-service boarding, breeding, and sales preparation, as well as post-operative care and layup services. Visit us in person or online at hermitagefarm.com.
The PA Horse Breeders Association presents the new and improved Pennsylvania Stallion Series. Six $100,000 stakes for PA-sired, PA-bred Zoot Parks. 2-6 furlong contests on PA Derby Day. The 2-year-olds then go 7 furlongs on December 30th. Here's the big change. The last two races are in August 2025 for 3-year-olds. Then $50,000 in breeder bonuses go to the top 3 horses in the series. For more, go to PABred.com.